Is it a housing bust or an opportunity?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke with some good news this morning if you're looking to rent a home. Apartment vacancies are at a 23-year high and rents are dropping. Marketplace's John Dimsdale tells us more.
Apartments are plentiful and cheap thanks to a glut of availability and low demand. This recession has been particularly hard on workers under 35 years old, the group most likely to rent. They're doubling up into fewer apartments or moving back in with their parents. And condo developers who had been hoping to sell are instead having to ride out the recession by renting their properties, creating even more supply. In the latest quarterly numbers out today from the real estate firm Reis, apartment vacancies are at 7.8% nationwide, the highest since 1986. And the projections are the vacancy rate will peak well above 8% by the middle of next year. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And another bit of household relief. If you heat your home with natural gas, you ought to spend about $105 less this winter than last. The Energy Information Administration said this morning lower fuel costs and a milder winter should cut average heating costs this year. Even people who use electricity or propane should see a benefit. European stocks are up 1.5% this morning. Asian markets gained around 1% today. Australia actually raised interest rates today, the first G20 country to do that since the meltdown. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gained 112 points to close at 9,599. Scores of business executives are expected to hit Capitol Hill today and tomorrow as environmental activists. And another business group is kicking off a million-dollar ad campaign. They all want Congress to pass a new law cutting greenhouse gases. Marketplace's Jill Barchet has that.
The business executives say it's actually in their self-interest to get stricter carbon emissions laws in place. One of them is Ralph Izzo. He's the CEO of a big New Jersey electric utility, PSEG. He says he doesn't emit as much carbon as his competition. That means he'd be in a position to sell carbon permits that the proposed legislation would create. And that would make his nuclear and gas plants even more powerful.
No pun intended. Yes, we would be in a strong position.
Without legislation, Izzo says he's been holding off on multi-billion-dollar investments in nuclear, wind, and solar energy.
And it's just that without a price on carbon, business leaders, whether it's energy or construction, we can't make those investments.
Environmental activists organize these corporations from Nike to eBay. They're urging Congress to push through a climate change bill before a December conference in Copenhagen to forge a new global emissions treaty. I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys, constantcontact.com. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
The U.S. is already facing economic challenges. This morning, we're hearing about a challenge to our global financial leadership. London's independent newspaper reports Arab oil producers are talking with China and other countries about no longer trading oil in dollars. I'm joined by the author of that story, the Independent's Middle East correspondent, Robert Fisk. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's behind this secret push?
Well, I think it's China's way of pushing its own currency forward, along with a basket of other currencies, including gold, the euro, possibly a new currency in the Gulf. And what China wants to do is to exert its new superpower status. The idea is to give a much smoother ride in oil price.
Why would delinking the oil and the dollar stabilize prices?
Because you'd have more currencies to bounce along beside each other, and you couldn't have huge dips and falls on the market for either the consumer or the producer.
You write that the U.S. is sure to fight this move. How would this hurt the U.S.?
Well, I mean, the dollar ultimately will go down. It did go down slightly when my story appeared this morning, but then recovered when the Saudis denied that they had any plans for a new currency. I think overall, you see, that the strength of the dollar and the fact that it's held in reserves by so many other countries means that America financially will remain the financial superpower. This will no longer be the case if this new system of currency trading for oil comes in. Again, we're talking the project's deadline at the moment is set at 2018. That's still 9 years away. But what it effectively does is it says China is now the new superpower and the United States will be number two.
How much is this happening because of the global meltdown and America's great debt?
Well, this started before the global meltdown, although when I spoke to investment brokers and bankers in Hong Kong, they made the point that the meltdown was only proof that they were right to try and move away from the dollar, because this, in their view, the contagion started in America, spread to Europe, and then moved through the rest of the world.
Can America really fight this move, or is this inevitable?
I think it's inevitable. So many countries have been talking about it. So many countries have been complaining constantly and sometimes with great frustration and irritation at the way in which the Americans control the financial system. And I think that, there's a good deal of frustration which is mixed up with the political feeling that, you know, so many countries are tired of being dominated. Now there's only one superpower.
Robert Fisk is Middle East correspondent for The Independent. Robert, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And finally, when you think Mahatma Gandhi, you might think renunciation, fasting, and perhaps a $25,000 ink pen. The German pen maker Montblanc is marking the 140th anniversary of Gandhi's birth with a high-end commemorative pen. Critics are questioning the gesture. Besides Gandhi's simplicity, he was a nationalist who only promoted Indian-made goods. Gandhi's great-grandson has endorsed the pen. Tushar Gandhi's charitable foundation has received a $145,000 donation from Mont Blanc and will get between $200 and $1,000 for every pen sold. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I hope you have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.